Greetings, fellow nerds and geeks. Why don't you pull yourself up a chair, grab yourself a beverage, and prepare to enjoy a geek-tastic conversation. Welcome to the Geekeasy.
Hey, welcome to episode 50 of the Geekeasy podcast. I am Pixel Dan.
I'm Jonathan Leonard.
What's going on, John?
We're live on YouTube.
We are live on YouTube. This is our very first time streaming the podcast live.
Yeah, we have no idea what we're doing.
That's right. This is a fairly new experience for even me. I haven't done a whole lot of live streaming, maybe once or twice before this, so this is going to be a total work in progress. So for those of you who are going to be joining us live, welcome. It's great to see you guys. We got a chat box open here for you guys watching us, so feel free to let us know as long as you can hear us okay. Let us know if any situations are going on, and as you can see, people are watching.
Hey,
and
we've cool! Look at that. We got viewers.
Are popping up like crazy. But we are also still recording this as an audio version of the podcast. So we'll treat this like a normal episode. But yeah, we will also be paying attention to you guys chatting. And you know, if you want to chime in on some of the topics that we're talking about, it'd be really cool to kind of refer to you guys on some of this stuff.
And yeah.
We're just going to have fun with it.
I'll tell you guys right now, we've got one camera here for the live broadcast. We've got another one going for the normal YouTube show. We've got a set of mics for the audio. We've got the other mic that's coming to the YouTube live stream right here. We've got a chat box open, which is awesome.
Yeah.
I read kind of slow. I am confused by fast-moving concepts. I feel like my head's taking up the whole screen. I am just swirling around right now. So I hope this next, 60 to 90 minutes or however, we won't make this our longest episode for sure. We'll try to hone that in, but stick with us for 60 to 90 and we'll talk some geek stuff.
That's right. Yeah. And you guys, I mean, I can see a ton of comments coming already. Oh, my wife just popped up on the chat
box. I think that might be your son.
I think my son is actually leaving comments because it just says, which is hilarious. But you guys are already popping in with a bunch of toy questions and that's awesome. And we'll try to take some actual questions focusing on that later on in the show. But we do have several topics that we want to go over. So hopefully you guys will enjoy the topics. You are so cool. I love when we see comments like that.
Yep.
That's awesome.
He's talking to you.
Everybody, my friend John is also cool. Make sure you tell him he's cool.
I'm really not.
That's awesome. Greetings from Germany. We got folks watching us from all over the world. This is just nice.
I'm from there.
Hey, you are from there.
That's where
you were born, right?
Yep.
That is really cool. And now we just dropped some knowledge on everybody who may not have known that. So very, very cool stuff. So we got more people joining us as we're going, so that's awesome. Why don't we go ahead and move on to our first topic of the day? So I want to go ahead and start by talking about the whole Masters of the Universe Classic stuff with Super 7. It's been kind of a continuous theme on the show so far. We've been following the progression all the way through, so I felt it only appropriate to talk about where we're at with it right now.
Yeah.
Just this week, Super 7 actually started pre-orders for their brand new Masters of the Universe Classics Ultimates, which is really, really cool. Now, these are the ones that we talked about revealed at Toy Fair, which are basically reissues of some of the past Classics figures.
They've got all the different pieces
All the different pieces, all the extra parts, stuff like that. So these just went on pre-order at Super7Store.com, and it's really cool because unlike Maddie Collector, who was always doing the subscription service where you had to subscribe, and that gave you, like, you basically had to buy the entire line, and they would ship you one a month. Super 7 is doing individual pre-orders for each of the items.
Oh, cool.
And the pre-orders just opened up on the 16th, which was yesterday, and it'll run for 2 weeks. You can pre-order individually, so any of the figures that you want to, plus they've got some other Masters items on there. And as long as the pre-orders open, they're not going to sell out because they're going to make these to order.
Oh, nice.
So I thought that was a huge step up.
Yeah.
From what people were expecting from this line. So hopefully this will give people a chance to pick up some of these figures and it won't be too hard to get a hold of. On top of that, they did say that they're finally going to be announcing their brand new Masters of the Universe figures in December. So next month we should know what their new figures are. So the brand new things.
They'll close out the pre-orders and then they'll start announcing what you can look forward to next.
Exactly. So
I mean, the business model sounds very fan friendly.
It does, and I've seen a lot of people say that ordering has been really easy. The prices on these they're $35 a piece, which it's a little bit more. That's about $5 more than the standard from Mattel, which was I think they topped out around $30 on Mattel.
Is that for these Ultimates or is that going to be for everything?
For the Ultimates. I don't know yet if that's like an all across the board price.
Five extra dollars for getting all the extra pieces and all that stuff doesn't sound too.
I didn't think it was too bad because we also have to remember this is a smaller company producing it. It's not Mattel, the largest company in the world anymore. It's a very small company. Mm-hmm. I actually was worried that they were going to be a lot more expensive than this, so I can manage $35. But again, the good news is like if you've already got these figures and you don't feel the need to buy them, then you don't have to really worry about that. You can pass over on it.
Yeah.
But, like I brought up before, a lot of people missed out on these figures, so I think it's really good for that audience specifically.
Yeah. And again, so, I mean, if it's something you've been hunting down and missed the first one on and either can't find them or they're super expensive, an extra $5 or $10 is not that big a deal
either,
I wouldn't say. Now, I'm a little bit from the outside looking in. I'm also a guy who hates paying $20 to $25 for a figure I pull off of a Walmart shelf.
Yeah,
so, the fact that, I totally get the, man, these are way too pricey outlook on some toys, but it doesn't sound to me like this is too terribly bad of a deal.
Yeah, it's not too bad. I think it's pretty good for what we've got, especially what we've kind of come to expect for this collector line. So I'm anxious to see what's going to happen with it. I know that the international shipping has been a bit of an issue because, again, when we're dealing with a smaller company, one of the things that popped up right away for international customers is they said the shipping was way more expensive than Mattel offered. But Super 7 was pretty quick to kind of put an answer out to that, saying that the problem with that is because the rates that they had negotiated was based on them being a smaller business. But now that they're offering this bigger toy line to a wider market, they're actually going to try to renegotiate shipping rates. And if all goes well, they'll be lowering the prices and refunding the international buyers for the difference. So at least they're trying. I think that's really good. I know shipping is a pain in the butt, and that's always a downside, especially for the international folks who want to get this stuff. So fingers crossed that they get that all worked out there. I think it's looking pretty good so far, but there is one kind of issue that I wanted to talk about with it that I've seen a lot of people talking about. Kind of broke out there that's with this whole Masters of the Universe deal that Super 7 wasn't able to do She-Ra characters.
Oh, no.
And so I've had a lot of people asking me about that and what's going on with the whole She-Ra thing. Basically, and this is really weird, and this is just how licenses are, She-Ra and He-Man are two separate licenses. And it's always been that way.
It's so weird. I remember when... not to interrupt too much, but just when I think about this stuff, when Fox did the live action Tick show, which was a live action version of a cartoon that they had ran, also based on a comic, I know, but they owned the cartoon rights, they owned the live action rights, but they could not use some of the characters from their cartoon on their live action
show
didn't have the rights to the individual characters. Stuff like that pops up, and all you can do is just go,
it's so weird.
I have no, yeah.
So, yeah, so She-Ra and He-Man have always been separate. And actually, like, Mattel didn't own most of She-Ra for a long time. I think that was totally, I don't remember if it was like because of the whole Filmation thing. Like, Filmation actually owned She-Ra, not Mattel. So when that went on to Hallmark and then DreamWorks and then whoever kept buying that library, She-Ra kind of kept going with it. So Mattel was able to work it out when they were running things. But apparently, Super 7 has kind of been saying, we don't really quite have all that yet. But here's the good thing. And so I'm already seeing everybody in the comments getting a little scared about this. So I'm trying to ease everybody's mind right now about the whole She-Ra thing. From what I understand, I did a little investigating, talked to some people, know some things, okay? Apparently, what they meant by that up front, and part of the reason they couldn't reveal anything new back at New York Comic Con, is because the She-Ra rights are actually still tied up with the deal that they're working out with Mattel to fully take on the Classics line. The reason He-Man wasn't a problem is because they already had a license to do He-Man toys, because they were doing that with their reaction figures, reaction figures, stuff like that. So the He-Man was already not a problem. But apparently the She-Ra stuff was off the table until they get this deal worked out with Mattel all the way.
Okay.
Once they get that worked out all the way, which brings Classics over to them completely, it should be no problem. So I don't think you guys should worry. It sounds like we will still have She-Ra and She-Ra characters in the Classics line, which is good because there's a lot of characters that were in the Filmation series that a lot of people want to see in these lines, and having the She-Ra rights is necessary to get some of these Filmation characters. So I would say don't worry about it. It sounds like it's good. It sounds like things are going to be okay on that front. It was a little bit of a scary rumor for a minute, but it sounds okay.
Well, I mean, it sounds like a situation, too, where, like you keep trying to say, this is a much smaller company trying to do something very big. From what I can tell, and again, I'm not in the mix of that world, so I don't want to speak on stuff where I completely just misunderstand, but from what I can tell from the outside looking in, knowing just a little bit about toys and a little bit about business, you know, these are guys who are trying to take on a big task, and they're making decisions thus far that seem very fan-friendly. They clearly are fans themselves and are trying to do something well here, so I would just say when you hear news like this and it seems a little bit scary, not everything's going to work out perfectly the way you want it to, but they seem to be trying very hard to do the best they can to make this good for the audience. So
fingers are crossed.
Give them a little bit of room and a little bit of time. It's a brand new thing. It hasn't taken off quite yet. It hasn't even really started yet. Everything that's happened so far is news. But if you really want them to work on something, let them know, and then see what happens. You know, that's the best we can do at this point.
I want to address this because one of the comments is actually specifically asking what's become of the Catra and Natasa dolls. Those were dolls that Mattel actually were going to look into doing because they did a She-Ra doll at Comic-Con. I think I showed that to you, like a large-scale doll. And then at Comic-Con, they also showed Natasa and Catra, and they were looking into doing a whole line of dolls. And a lot of folks were already starting to speculate, well, maybe that's why Super 7 can't do the She-Ra figures. But it doesn't sound like those things are related. However, I haven't heard anything about that proposed line of dolls from Mattel since they showed those little prototypes at Comic-Con, so I don't know if those are still a thing or not. I don't know if they're happening, so we'll just have to kind of wait and see with those. The other thing everybody is talking about is Thundercats. Everybody is kind of wondering still what's going on with Thundercats, and that's another one of those things where they're still trying to work out the license, and that's all on Warner Brothers. Like, if Super 7 can work out the license with Warner Brothers, hopefully we'll have Thundercats figures. There's no news right now. Fingers just have to stay crossed on something like that. So we'll have to see what happens. So let's see. A lot of people are saying that we're freezing and kind of...
Looks like it's back.
If there's some lag issues, guys, that's totally probably a YouTube thing with the stream. So I apologize if that's going to happen. Looks like it's running okay now. People are saying it's back. So just let us know if it gets real bad.
Like Super 7, we're a very small show. we're inexperienced at this. Keep letting us know when stuff like that's going on. But all we can do, I don't know, would the video or would the... visuals were popping up. Would that hurt it at all?
I don't know if that's what it is or if it's just because, I mean, you know, we're streaming live, so sometimes
What? If something goes wrong, blame the big guy. So it's definitely YouTube's fault. Sorry, we can't control it.
That's right. All right, so let's everybody's yelling at YouTube. See, look what we did. So Masters of the Universe stuff sounds like it's going to be pretty cool. Just keep an eye on it. Hopefully, after the 2-week pre-order, they order a little bit more than the pre-order there, because I think that their plan is to have a little bit overstock of what they order so that some people can still buy things on the site. But I don't know. I wouldn't count on that because... You never know. I guess it might be one of those things where they sell out, they don't produce them again. I don't know that yet. So if it's something that you're thinking about, you might want to try the pre-order.
And again, small company trying to do a big thing, so the best way you guys can help them out, if you're on the fence about whether or not to get something, try to buy it.
Our friend Jacob is on the chat and says the internet can't handle your dumb.
I told you, it's taking up the entire screen. I know it is. I'm very self-conscious about my giant head.
That's amazing. All right. Well, let's go ahead and shift
gears. You know how hard it is to buy hats?
I've been with you when you tried to buy hats.
You do know how hard it is.
I was at Disney World with this guy once, and all he wanted was an Indiana Jones fedora. And we went to the Indiana Jones shop, and he tried on every hat in that place, and none of them fit his head. I've never seen him so upset and distraught in my life. It was amazing.
Well, you guys weren't particularly happy about the close to 40 minutes, I think, we spent with me going through every single hat. But it's okay, because I already had the internet back in 05, so I just came home and ordered one.
You just ordered one. Yeah, I remember you had to order one online. All right, let's go ahead and shift gears. I got another toy topic I want to talk about. This one came up while we were together, actually, this last weekend. I've been waiting to talk about this. We brought up the Power Rangers movie on this show recently when we talked about the new trailer that was out. And, you know, we've both kind of told people we're not huge Power Rangers fans, right? Like, Power Rangers
really,
is great.
I used to think you were.
No, I'm not a huge... Yeah. Like, and it's just one of those things, like, it was a little after my time, I guess. My brother was a huge Power Rangers fan. I appreciate
That's probably why I'm confusing it.
So I appreciate it for what it is, but it's not something I was huge into. So when I saw the trailer for the new movie, I was kind of like, that looks weird, but I don't know. Maybe the Power Rangers fans are happy with it. I don't know. You guys are in the chat. Are you guys Power Rangers fans? What do you think about that new movie trailer? Is that something that looks cool to you? I don't know. But here's the thing I do know. They showed images, finally. We got images via pictures of the upcoming toys of what Megazord is going to look like in the movie.
Another big movie news break that
comes from toy
visuals.
Isn't that hilarious?
Yeah. Oh,
it's
great. I love it.
So, if you guys haven't seen it yet, this is the first image that we got. This right here. Look at this thing. Look at this right here. What is this? This is apparently Megazord, and so that toy is like the sound action toy, so that's not the one that's going to combine, and you won't combine all the dinosaurs together, but that's the toy, and I just don't know how I feel about it. It doesn't look like Megazord to me. It looks like a Bay Transformer to me, doesn't it?
Yep.
What are you laughing at?
Nothing.
Okay. Laughing at the comments.
Yeah.
Well, some of the people say that it's cool looking, on the chat box here. I don't know. I just thought it doesn't look like Megazord to me.
Yeah.
Like,
it almost looks like it's going for some sort of like demon/dragon type. I mean, the wings have that feel to it. And,
here. That's Megazord,
yeah,
right? Okay. So when I think of Megazord, that's what I think of
now,
right there.
In fairness, I always felt that Megazord just looked like knockoff Voltron. Because I was a Voltron guy. Because
we were both Voltron
kids. Yeah.
Yeah. Never mind that, you know.
So I don't have like fond memories of this thing.
Right.
I always thought this thing looked huge. Now, I believe didn't Power Rangers technically predate
Technically
Voltron
predated
in,
Voltron
in Japan,
but not in the U.S.
You know, 12 to 15 year old me had no idea that
exactly.
So.
Yeah, I always thought Power Rangers was live action Voltron.
That's
what I thought when I saw it for the first time. But you know, like, and I understand that they're going to change these things for movies. It always happens that way.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like it when it's like not identifiable as the source material.
Well, I mean, as always, let's see what they're even doing with this movie, because it looks straight bananas right now. So maybe contextually it'll work out. I'm still going to try to hold out judgment, as I usually try to do. I don't even know what to say about the movie or the marketing or the toys or anything for this movie, because I am just so perplexed by the direction they're going.
And I'm trying to keep an open mind. I'm for sure going to go see it. I might love it. I might enjoy it. You never know.
I have a feeling this is what people who were not well-versed in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles felt like when the first Bay Turtle trailer started hitting, probably.
Well, that's exactly the same reference I made on the last episode. Like, when they first started showing that early Turtle stuff, you saw how scared you and I were. Because we're big Turtles fans. And I was wondering if Power Rangers fans felt the same way about this. So tell us, Power Rangers fans. Is that how you feel? Are you a little nervous about this? Or do you think it looks cool? Are you excited? Yeah, somebody says, hopefully it's not like that live-action Dragon Ball Z movie. Wow. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Let's hope that's for sure not the case. But I don't know. The one I've got on the screen right now is actually the transforming one. So that's the one where all the Zords are going to come together. And I will say it looks a little bit more like a Zord kind of thing here, because you can kind of see, like, on the feet, the way it's different Zords that hook together. But it still just doesn't look... It looks like a Hollywood robot, right?
Yeah.
It looks like a Hollywood robot.
That's a good way of saying that.
That's just the way they do things now. So I don't know. Time will tell. It's the whole thing seems super weird to me still.
And again, I want to express, I'm not even complaining about it per se. You know, I'm not saying it looks terrible. I'm not saying it looks great by any means. I'm perplexed by it. That trailer was very intriguing to me, as I said on the show. It got a little less intriguing when I realized what it was, because by the end, when I realized it was a Power Rangers movie and it didn't look anything like what I thought a Power Rangers movie would look like, it sort of threw me for a loop, you know. But the first half of that trailer, I was... You know, hey, this looks very intriguing. You know, I'm kind of into this, so I'm going to hold out hope. I'm going to go see that movie, if nothing else, just so we know.
Since I asked everybody the question, let's read what some of the people are saying about it. It's one guy says, Philip says, I have to be nervous. I was leery about the new Turtles, but it was decent. And that's kind of how we feel, too. Like, yeah. We felt Turtles was a little decent. Jason's...
I liked it more than decent.
You liked it more than decent. Yeah. I liked the first... I still haven't seen the second one. How terrible of a fan am I?
The worst.
The worst. Where do the rest of these go? I messed up the comments. Looks like silly string globbed together. Is it just me or did John's head just grow?
It may
oh,
have.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Wow, they're getting you now.
It may have.
It says, I don't like it. Classic Megazord is 1,000 times better. It looks like a Bay Transformer. So, I mean, there's kind of a lot of the same things. Some people say, I think it's cool. Like, Hebro here says, I think it's cool. Knights of Ren says, Optimus Sword. So, you know, it's... Honestly, it looks like the reactions are kind of back and forth on either side. And I'm totally cool with being that person that says, well, let's see the movie first. Let's give it a chance.
Yep.
Let's see how it actually looks on screen. Maybe we'll like the way it's animated. You never know. So... There we go. I think that's all we can really say about that for right now. I got some more fun toy-related news, and this one is one I'm really, really excited about. Did any of you guys out there, or did you, John, ever watch or collect Bucky O'Hare toys? Or did you watch the Bucky O'Hare cartoons?
I saw the cartoons some.
Yeah?
I think I had a couple of the toys, but I wouldn't say I collected them.
Yeah.
They just sort of showed up in my collection.
So I love the Bucky O'Hare toy line. It's one of those really cool lines. It came out in that right era where, you know, Turtles was big. It was definitely one of those things that was kind of playing into that. But it is based on a comic series by Larry Hama. And if you know that name, you might recognize that name. He was a big name in the whole G.I. Joe comic universe. Like, Larry Hama is who we have to thank for a lot of the G.I. Joe lore that's out there. Cool. So this was his property.
His new
right
brainchild.
Here. Yeah, Bucky O'Hare. Wonderful cartoon. I think that original cartoon still really holds up. It's a great show.
Is that available anywhere?
It's not, which is kind of a bummer. At least not right now. Hopefully that'll turn around. But I always loved the original toys, so I was pretty excited when I found out that Boss Fight Studio, which is a smaller toy company, a more recent toy company, randomly announced that they are bringing Bucky O'Hare back. The press release says, Boss Fight Studio will be producing highly articulated 4-inch scale collectible toys of Bucky O'Hare, his space allies, and the Toad enemies. Created by Larry Hama and Michael Golden, Bucky O'Hare tells the story of a brave band of mammal freedom fighters combating the all-conquering Toad Empire. Stay tuned for updates for this exciting new line of products. This was totally out of left field for me.
Yeah.
I never saw this coming. And if you guys are not familiar with Boss Fight, and actually I don't know if I've talked about Boss Fight with you before, they're a relatively new small company who... are basically made up of employees who worked for Hasbro for a long time. And a lot of them worked on the G.I. Joe line and Star Wars line with Hasbro. They started their own company where they basically produced their own line. Their first successful line was called Vertuvian Hacks, which was a line of 4-inch, almost like G.I. Joe articulated and styled mythology kind of characters.
That's cool.
And they were massively successful on Kickstarter. The toys are super well done. Great quality stuff. I was just not expecting them to drop the news of a license like that with Bucky O'Hare. But these guys, I mean, they've worked with Larry Hama before. They know Larry Hama because of the G.I. Joe connection. So it's one of those things like it kind of makes sense now that you think about it. And I'm pretty excited to see what they're going to be doing with this line. I will say my one little concern is that they're doing it in the 4-inch scale, which is that smaller size like those G.I. Joe figures. Because when I think of Bucky O'Hare... my mind immediately goes to the original toys, which are 5-inch scale, and they were big and chunky, and they kind of had that beefed up feel like the Ninja Turtles toys.
Yeah.
And when I think of 4-inch figures, I immediately think of the thinner, smaller G.I. Joes.
Yep.
I kind of don't want them to be like that. I want them to be larger scale. But they did
open your mind to change.
Exactly. Open my mind. And they did kind of ease my mind a little bit because a lot of people actually had that same concern. And they did put a post on Facebook saying that these were not going to be built on the same body type as their other line. They're going to be their own thing. So that's good to know.
Yeah.
And I'm really excited. And even thinking about them at the 4-inch scale means that it's going to open things up to like vehicles, spaceships, stuff that.
Yeah,
Can you imagine the things they could do with this? So... I don't know. It sounds really exciting to me. I'm looking forward to it. It's just one of those cool random toy lines that I never thought we'd see come back. And boom, there it is. Because anything can happen these days, I guess. Right?
Yep, absolutely.
Anything can happen.
Yeah, we're living in the golden age of being a nerd.
That's right.
You know, that's all there is to it.
Movies, TV shows, toys. Yeah. I mean, you never say never anymore because it just happens now. It's
absolutely.
Crazy.
Absolutely.
Smaller does cost less, somebody says on here. That's a good thing, too. I mean, mm-hmm. you think about if they did it in a 6-inch scale, they'd probably charge $20 a figure. At the 4-inch scale, they might get away with charging $10. So yeah. I'm okay with that, too. That's good.
Heck yeah, I mean, three quarters
for life, to four. Says somebody. I'm a 6-inch collector myself, but, you know, I accept things for different scales sometimes. Dan, if you read this, say, ho! I just had to do it for that guy.
Hey, I'm glad you're the one reading it, because I was thinking he wanted you to say, whoo.
Maybe that is what he means. Bucky, at the end of the live stream, can you do a Q&A? Absolutely, mm-hmm. we will do a Q&A yep. at yep. the end of the show here.
We'll try to
All right.
blast through the rest of the news and stuff like that.
Sure. Okay, so the next thing I kind of wanted to talk about, and we'll talk about this briefly. I'm really curious to see what the comments are going to be on this. How about that NES Classic Edition, guys? Was anybody
who's
able,
got one?
Yeah, who's yeah. got one? Were any of you out there able to pick up an NES Classic this past week? Because I'll tell you who wasn't able to. Me. Mm. I have not been able to track one down yet. Have you even tried?
No.
Whew. I
think they're cool. I'm not in a hurry for one.
Yeah.
I would like to get one. I don't need one today.
Somebody says they've got three. Can you send one to me, please?
Three is too many.
Hook me up. three's too many. So I knew that this was going to be a thing because Nintendo always seems to ship limited stock at the beginning. And I don't know if this is their way of like creating hype and buzz or if this is just the way it works with this sort of thing.
Yeah.
But the store's got such limited stock of these. Like I think our local Toys R Us got 10, Walmart got 6,
yep.
GameStop got 3. I mean, it's crazy. So like they were selling out practically before the door was even open for these stores. And I've tried getting online to buy them all week long. Like when Amazon announced their sale, I tried to get on there. Like Amazon crashed, basically.
Yeah.
I couldn't get it. I've tried buying it from GameStop's website, Walmart's website. I have had zero luck with it. So it's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But the good news is that Nintendo put a tweet out during all the insanity that basically said they're going to continuously ship these through the holidays and well into the next year. So I'm hoping this is one of those things where supply just has to meet demand.
Yeah.
And one day we'll be able to walk into a store and just pick one up if we
want
one.
I'm sure it will be like, and we've got a couple of people coming through here, you know, saying that they either did try and didn't have much luck,
yeah.
or gave up pretty early, or were mad enough to choke a nun.
Is that what somebody says
yeah,
on here?
Yeah. Never chased a gimmick like that before. Never will again.
Yeah.
You know, and I have ran stuff like this down, and I know how frustrating it is. And,
yeah.
You know, anybody who got one, great. Good luck to anybody who's looking. And, you know, way to go, Nintendo, for continuing to create things that can cause this kind of
That's
uproar.
That's what I'm saying.
But like you said, yeah. I don't understand. Seems to me with this much planning and the release date set this far in advance, if you can't make enough to meet closer to the demand, why set the release date at this point? You know what I mean? I mean, why not wait 2 more weeks and build another 100,000 of them, or however long that takes? Or, I don't know. It just seems to me like there'd be a slightly better way to do it, unless it is the plan just to create the buzz.
I agree.
In which case, I don't know if the math works out for you, Nintendo, but I disagree with the way that's done.
Yeah, yeah. I am with you. And I've seen a couple people on the chat all mentioning Amiibo,
yep.
and it is just like what they recently did with the Amiibos. Yep. Because when those things first launched, they were insane, and people were buying them up, and they were hard to get. But then eventually, they met demand, and now you don't have any problems finding any Amiibo.
Let me use my one shout-out. My nephew's on here. What's up, Chandler?
Hey, what's up, Chandler? Chanandler. What's up, Chanandler? Now the whole internet just heard me call him Chanandler. the Amiibo thing is totally a great thing to relate it to, so I'm hoping that, like the Amiibo, these eventually catch up to demand, and it's not going to be crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Don't go buy these on eBay. Please don't go
yeah.
buy these on eBay. People are selling these on eBay for like $1,000 a piece. That's crazy talk. Don't do that. That is so, so silly. So just like wait it out. You know, that's one of those things, vote with your dollars. Like people
yep.
can keep listing those at $1,000, but if nobody's buying them, they'll be forced to lower
yep.
the price
Absolutely.
On those things. And then eventually we'll be able to find them in stores. And, you know, so just try not to panic. Don't get too
yeah.
out of control. Hopefully we'll all have one.
And
that
it is week one and it's not even Thanksgiving yet. give it some time. You know, even if you're looking for it for Christmas, if you're going to spend that much on it, wait at least until the middle of December. You know what I mean? So
sometimes I catch these comments and they crack me up. Run D Nation says, Dan, can you use your one shout out on me, please?
What's up, well, there it is. Now we're out of shout outs.
Oh, all out of shout outs. I got none left. Sorry. Do you like the new Stretch Armstrong? Random question I just saw. Yes, I do. I have it. I kind of want to do a video on it, so stay tuned. Maybe I'll do video on it. There's a new Stretch Armstrong, says somebody else. Yes, it's at Target and Toys R Us right now. You should go buy it. Oh, man, this is awesome.
Yeah, this is fun.
This is so much fun, you guys. I hope you guys are enjoying this because we're having a blast with this. So, yeah, Nintendo NES Classic. Hold the phone. Just hold the phone. Don't go crazy.
Take your time.
Take your time. And
again, like I said, if you really just have to have it as the perfect gift for someone for Christmas or something like that, at least wait until December before you drop $600 to $800 on
exactly.
it. You know?
Exactly.
You've got time.
All right, I got one more toy-related thing, and this is more like a quick mention or a shout-out for a buddy, actually. But I wanted to throw this out there just because I thought it was cool news for him. But my friend Rob McCallum, who some of you guys may know as a guy that's behind several documentaries that are out there, like the Nintendo Quest documentary. He's currently working on a He-Man and the Masters of the Universe documentary, which is really cool.
Mm-hmm.
But he just got a gig on a new documentary that is about Barbie that he's actually working on with Morgan Spurlock. So he's pretty excited about it. I know how you've even brought that up here before, you know, Morgan Spurlock, but it's cool news for my buddy Rob. And, you know, I'm all for more toy related documentaries. I think that's pretty cool. And he's excited about working on it. He's also heading up the crowdfunding stuff on it, but he already told me that they've done a lot of work for it. They're working with Mattel on it. They got a lot of behind the scenes stuff, and it's just a cool toy history thing. So I'm all for more toy history stuff and more coverage of that. And as we get more details on it, I'll definitely make sure I bring him up here just to make sure we get a good plug in there for my friend Rob.
So. Yeah, for sure. I would, more power to your friend Rob. I hope his project is successful. I don't know how much farther I can go with that.
Somebody just said supersize Barbie. supersize me. Good joke. I like it. Dan, are you getting the Curse of the Three Terrors Masters figures? I plan to, yes. I have to pre-order them still, but if I get them, I'll review them.
Hey, Dan.
Hero Pickle Man and friend. Oh, look, Papa Duvall. Good job. Hi, Duvall. How's it going,
hey,
buddy?
No, that's too many shout-outs.
Oh, too many shout-outs. I got to take that shout-out
back. Yeah, you're killing us
here. Who's your friend? This is Jonathan.
Hey, guys.
We've co-hosted 50 episodes of the Geekeasy podcast together. You guys should check it out. All right, so next topic, I'm going to actually throw it over to you to start bringing up some of these cool toy, TV and movie releases.
Here's my half hour of the show.
That's right.
I like it. Let's do this. Okay, so first things first, let's do the Marvel and the Fox trade news first.
Yeah, how crazy is this?
Yeah, it's some stuff that's come out very recently here in the last couple of days, and it's not, you know, it's nothing to look forward to. It's just some weird things of kind of how the business works in the background. Sort of plays into the mark or the licensing stuff we were talking about earlier. Apparently, in order for Marvel to use Ego the Living Planet in the upcoming Guardians of the Galaxy 2, they actually had to make a deal with Fox, who for some reason owned Ego, apparently.
Well, I think he was with the Fantastic Four license.
Yeah. Oh, you know what? Yep, that makes perfect sense. I kept thinking of on the X-Men level, but the Fantastic Four license makes perfect sense.
Yep.
But basically, the deal they had to make was in order for Negasonic Teenage Warhead to have the powers that they wanted her to have in Deadpool.
Yeah.
They had to make the trade. Basically, Marvel allowed them to change her powers, and Fox allowed Marvel to use Ego for Guardians of the Galaxy 2. What a bizarre mix of characters.
That's what I'm
to be
saying.
Reading news about. And more importantly, not only to be reading news about, but to actually care about.
Right.
To look at it and go, well, one of them's in Guardians, so we're already intrigued. And the other one, such a weird little fringe character, but was awesome in that movie.
Yeah, so. Exactly. Well, the news just broke this past week because of the Guardians of the Galaxy 2 stuff, I think.
Yeah.
And James Gunn confirmed that this was an actual thing that happened. So in the comic books, I guess Negasonic Teenage Warhead actually had psychic abilities.
Yeah.
And in the movie, as you saw in Deadpool, she had like an explosive power.
Yeah. Sounded more like her name.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So this quote says, "We were looking down the list of 400 characters that Fox owns. Negasonic Teenage Warhead jumped out and we were like, yes. I don't care what her powers are, she's going to be in our movie. So they just took this name that they owned, wrote their own character for it, and then said, hey, Marvel, is it cool if we just do this?
Yeah.
And Marvel was like, well, yeah, sure, but can you give us Ego the Living Planet back?
Yep.
And then Fox was like, we don't even know who that is. Yeah. So, yes. Yeah.
I wish I could have been on the receiving end of that email. Like, that sounds decent as long as you let us have Ego. And sitting there going, like you said, like, going back down the list.
Like, they're flipping
through.
Do we
have an Ego?
Who's Ego?
Yeah. You know? Also, I think it's funny. You know, one thing I heard a long time ago that Negasonic Teenage Warhead was far different in the movie than she was in the comics, that they had done the power change. I had no idea what her powers were. I find it interesting that they made a change like that, and you didn't really hear any backlash.
No, yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
and I know absolutely. She's a smaller character, but usually even the smaller characters have their diehards that really want things to stay the way they were.
Right.
And I just, which is good. I'm glad we didn't hear any backlash. It's always nice when something new or different happens and you don't hear a bunch of complaining about it.
Right.
But I just thought that was kind of a standout thing because...
It's got to be just because she's a very small character that probably doesn't have a huge following.
Yeah.
I mean, I honestly had no idea who she was when I
saw it,
that.
I take it that the internet is growing.
The internet is growing.
As a
we're accepting change a little bit.
Exactly.
Well, you know what? It's one of those things sometimes where, like, we'll accept change if it's done well. And Negasonic Teenage Warhead was for sure one of the most fun parts of that movie. She was hilarious.
Yeah, yeah.
She was awesome.
Yeah.
So maybe that's what it is. Maybe we were like, hey, that's not how... Whatever, she's cool.
So, the other thing I always...
Oh, well, here you go. Our buddy Justin Clark is actually on the comments, and he says that she was super tiny, was dead as soon as she appeared.
Oh,
so okay. Maybe that's why it's not a big deal. She
well, how do they even know what kind of power she had then?
I don't know.
Whatever.
Know. Who knows?
I think it's funny too when you hear news like that and to think like not only are the licensing of who can use who kind of weird, but the fact that. Even though Fox apparently owns the licenses for Negasonic Teenage Warhead, Marvel can still control, to a degree, what they do with it. Because they had to get permission to change her powers around.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, like that, absolutely.
I would just love to get into the paperwork of how some of this stuff is done and just really see what kind of control is given up and what is retained and all that stuff. It's always interesting to me when I find out new stuff like that.
I know, when you hear about and we were talking about weird copyright stuff earlier. Isn't it just weird, mm-hmm. like, how all this copyright stuff works and the way they can just shake hands and make trades like this when they need to for stuff? It does make me happy that it feels like these studios are getting a little bit more willing to work with each other on this stuff, because I felt like in the beginning, Fox especially was just like, yeek, no, stay away, Marvel. But now it seems like they're getting a little better about,
you tank a few movies.
Yeah,
you
exactly.
start to open up your options,
exactly.
you know. That'll bring me to another small bit of what I would consider non-news, but I'm going to throw it out there anyway because I read about it just a little bit earlier today. Apparently at some point, I think today, the Russos had put up a tweet with a behind-the-scenes picture of the Avengers that they're filming now.
Okay.
And it was, from what I understand, it was basically them hanging out in kind of near a stone building or kind of a stone corridor. The interesting part is they put it up and then took it right back down. I think if they had never taken it right back down, there would probably be a lot less speculation. But immediately the speculation runs to, well, why'd they take it down? And then people start coming up with their own theories. And the first theory I read was, well, that's probably Latveria. That's Latveria. They're going to be doing something with Doom.
No way.
And, you know, yeah. For the record, I don't think at all that's what's happening. There's a lot of stone buildings in a lot of... I mean, they've done a whole ton of stuff in Eastern Europe in these movies already.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so the architecture seems pretty par for the course to me. I don't think... That is any indication that, well, since there's rock there, they must be doing something with Dr. Doom. However, when your mind starts thinking about stuff like that, what did we hear just last week? Marvel and Fox are making deals.
Whoa.
You know, and we heard a lot of speculation after that last Fantastic Four movie came out that Fox might be willing to turn the reins over, or more likely, might be willing to work some sort of Sony-like deal. I think a lot of it's probably going to hinge on how this Spider-Man movie works out.
Yeah.
And how that deal comes
through.
Oh, my
gosh. If this Spider-Man movie opens doors for us, like, with places like Fox.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
now,
fingers
it's
crossed.
It's very possible that...
Latveria is under Sokovia now. Dr. Doom
time.
Is squished.
Yep.
Dang.
You know, it's very possible they do have this deal in place, and this is exactly what's going on. I don't see this as the indicator, but who knows? So maybe, maybe we'll be lucky and they already are doing something like that. But even if they're not already, again, let's see how the Spider-Man thing works out, because that could, this can open a lot of doors.
I think out of everything that Marvel doesn't have the rights to, Fantastic Four is the most important and the one that I want to see them do the most, honestly. I mean, like, that is just, that comic is so made for the Marvel Studios universe, like, just the whole formatting and everything, those characters would be so perfect under Marvel Studios control.
And we, you know, we've already, we've got a couple of comments, and I knew this was the first thing that's going to come up to, you know, give Marvel X-Men. I reserve the right to do a complete 180 on this comment the second they get X-Men. But honestly, right here and now, I don't want X-Men coming over. Too big, too soon, too much to work with.
Well,
there's already too big of a world built around that stuff. Now, granted, I mean, with I didn't like that last X-Men movie at all, and I don't know where they're going with the new stuff. That new Wolverine looks amazing.
Right, I think Wolverine looks
great. All the Deadpool stuff they're doing looks great.
Yeah, Deadpool's great.
Yeah, we're super excited about that. They're working in X-Force products, so there could be some very exciting things coming up with the X-Verse. As far as the specific X-Men movies, I'm not even sure what the plan for them is next. So they might even be at a rebooting phase where maybe it would be a great thing if they went over to Marvel. But that is not the news I want to hear right now. Now, again, the second I read, hey, X-Men's going to Marvel, I will turn that around.
Yeah,
I will be excited when it happens.
Yeah.
You know, it's just not what I'm looking for at this moment. But Fantastic Four, like you said, Fantastic Four already works perfectly in what Marvel's doing. And, man, Doctor Doom in the MCU.
Doctor Doom.
What's the biggest complaint the MCU has?
No good villains, right?
Or that's the shortage of them.
Or a shortage of really good villains in the MCU, and that's because Fox has Doom and Magneto, which are two of, like, the big, you know, like, at least they're doing the whole Thanos thing, and they're building him up huge, but aside from Thanos, who do they really have?
And that's the one big complaint I have. I don't subscribe as much to the idea that they have nothing but weak villains as a lot of people seem to.
Yeah.
I have liked most of their villains. They haven't been, I mean, they all haven't been Loki caliber.
Yeah.
You know, there are definitely better ones in movies out there, but I've enjoyed, for the most part, all of them. The problem I have is they keep falling into that trap where at the end of the movie they always got to kill everybody.
Yeah.
You know? So a lot of these villains aren't around anymore.
Yeah.
And you can make an argument that the way a lot of them die, maybe they're dead, maybe they can come back. It's a comic book, they can do whatever they want. But I don't think that has to be the resolution, especially if you're building worlds like Marvel has been doing. You know, why do you have to kill these guys?
Yeah.
Why not have these prisons or somewhere you can put them?
Yeah,
like, because you know they don't die at the end of every comic arc.
Somebody did just bring up Dormammu, and that's a good one. That's a good. We have Dormammu now, and that's kind of a big deal. But I also saw somebody else mention Galactus. Like, that's another one of those things. Like, if the Fantastic Four did return, not only would we get an awesome continuous villain in Doom, but we could have a new giant threat to build towards with Galactus after the whole Thanos thing is done. So
can you just imagine a Doctor Doom Loki buddy cop movie?
Oh my god. You know? Oh my god. I'm in. I'll buy two tickets right now. Come on.
So, somebody says Thanos should bring back all the villains. That's not a bad idea.
Thanos could bring back all the villains.
I mean, you know.
And we've talked about that before, too, with heroes dying, that we could totally see them come back again because of Thanos, you know.
Yep.
Because, you know, we speculated forever about Captain America maybe dying and then coming back for the Infinity War, although that ended up not happening. He didn't die.
Yeah, nope, not at all.
But yeah, you're right. I didn't even think about that with the villains. The villains could come back. I'm still waiting for them to do something else with Red Skull because, like, I don't feel like Red Skull's death was a definitive death by any means.
He was one of the ones I was thinking of when they're like, you know, maybe they're dead, maybe they're not.
Yeah. But. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I want the Netflix heroes on the ground fighting Thanos' troops in the Infinity War movies. That would be so cool.
I'm really hoping there's some, like, you know, I know they're not going to give him a ton of screen time, but I'm really hoping there's some inclusion of the Defenders in there somewhere.
Because they've been so good.
You know, even if it's during a montage, you know, or something like that, where they just show other heroes around, because that would be a great place to put in little cameos of heroes that we haven't seen, or, you know, stuff we didn't know was coming, or just little shout-outs. That, you know, that they would fit perfectly into something like that in that movie, and I'm really hoping the Defenders make it in there somewhere.
I want to read this from Rob on the comments. He says, imagine if at the end of Infinity War, if once the dust settles, Silver Surfer is shown to have seen everything and starts flying towards Galactus. Killer end credits moments. Could you imagine if they did something crazy like that and also like kept it under wraps that they got that all figured and, like, worked out?
Yeah.
That would, like, the people's minds would explode. That would be insane. Steven Amell in Justice League. Who's with me?
You know, they did a bit in a... We were talking about it. They did a bit in an episode of Arrow I just watched a few days ago. I'm a couple of weeks behind, but I just want to bring this up because Stephen Amell came up. They did one of those bits where there's a character on Arrow that is a vigilante that wears a hockey mask. And they did a moment where, you know, they were getting on an elevator or something, and somebody's like... Yeah, and who ever heard of a vigilante who wears a hockey mask? That's a weird idea anyway. And they pay it over to Stephen Amell, and he's just like, I think it's cool.
Yeah.
Just a pure reference to his Casey Jones turn. I love it when they do stuff
That's
like
so
that.
Good. Yep. That's so good.
Speaking of the TV news, and sticking with Marvel, here's another
Marvel
bit.
Marvel good, yay.
Yay, Marvel good, yay. here's another bit of TV news that come out that is probably, I would say, from a strictly formatting perspective, the biggest TV news I've seen in a long, long time. They have announced an ABC Inhumans series.
Yeah.
And
it's crazy.
Furthermore, and apparently it's a limited series. It's supposed to be 8 episodes from what I heard. So
they're kind of doing like the Peggy Carter thing with it?
Yeah, and it sounds like it's going to be bigger than that, though. Because at least the first two episodes, they're filming all in IMAX cameras.
Hmm.
And they are going to be releasing parts 1 and 2 cut together as an individual story, so movie length, into IMAX theaters 2 weeks before the premiere on ABC.
So they're going to make kind of like one of those movies that's also just like the TV show episodes put together.
Yep, it's going to be the TV show. It's going to be the debut episode. It's going to be a two-parter, and it's going to be released in IMAX formats all over the country. It's going to play for 2 weeks, and at the end of that two-week run, ABC will play the same episodes. Now, to my understanding, they're going to be recut a little bit, so you're going to get some extra stuff when you watch it on TV, or maybe you'll get some extra stuff when you watch it in the movie theater since you're paying for it. They're going to be slightly different, but for all intents and purposes, parts 1 and 2 will then play on TV for free, and it'll move into the rest of the series. Now, the news is being released in a real peculiar way, because basically, from what I read and researched, that's pretty much all they've said. They have said it's going to be about Black Bolt and the royal family. So it sounds like this is taking place of the Inhumans movie they had announced. When they did the first Phase 3 rundown, one of the big movies they announced was that they were going to be doing Inhumans. I think originally it was supposed to be in, like, November of 2017 or 18, something like that.
Right, right.
And then after they started adding and mixing stuff around, they added Spider-Man, they added the second Ant-Man, and they ended up dropping the Inhumans from the schedule. They never announced they weren't doing it. They just sort of fell off the calendar. Nobody knew what was going on. I don't remember them ever specifically saying that was going to be about Black Bolt and whatnot.
I think it was, though.
But I think that was the understanding.
And that was all before we started getting Inhuman stuff on S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah,
too.
Exactly.
So that's why
exactly.
Everybody immediately was just like, oh, Black Bolt.
Exactly. Because then the Inhuman stuff started happening on the S.H.I.E.L.D. The Inhumans have sort of taken the place of mutants in that universe. They've been doing all that stuff with that. Now, I didn't see anything that says this is going to be a direct spinoff of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah.
This Inhumans TV show. Same network and dealing with the same subject matter. I have seen several things that said it's not supposed to be a spinoff, but none of those were official sources.
And how can you not acknowledge that there's Inhumans on S.H.I.E.L.D. and then Black Bolt and the royal family over here?
I cannot imagine Disney and Marvel and ABC are all of a sudden just going to start pretending that certain things don't exist or don't go together.
Yeah, exactly.
So to me, it almost has to be some level of spinoff. I don't know if it's just going to be something that exists in the same universe.
Prequel? Somebody asked if it's a prequel.
That was what I was about to say.
If it's going to be
something like that. I also will be very interested to see, from a special effects budget standpoint and that kind of thing, how big they make this show. Because, I mean, they're doing 2 episodes in IMAX theaters. They're filming them on IMAX cameras. That's already expensive. But that already also says that they're putting a lot of stock into this. If they're going to charge you $15 to come see the beginning of your TV show... That's a big deal. I've never seen anything like that before. That alone is super exciting to me. To add in the fact that it's Marvel property makes it even more so. But it doesn't matter what they were doing. If this was their sales gimmick, I am in. Because I love it when they try new stuff like this, and I really want to see how this goes. But it also makes me wonder, are episodes 1 and 2 going to look 10 times better than 3 through 8? Or is the whole thing going to play out like a big budget movie that you get for free every Wednesday on ABC or whatever day of the week? You know?
I'm curious for sure to see how it all plays out.
And it's just, again, I told you about it. I felt like I was catching the second wave of a news release and totally missed the first wave. But when I looked, I didn't. It seems to me, and I saw other people commenting on the idea that Marvel has released this news real weird.
Yeah.
Because it just feels like this is part two of a story and we missed part one. Because it's sort of like everybody knew they were looking at the Inhumans property for the movies, and then all of a sudden they weren't. And there was never any release that said, oh, hey, we're going to plan on doing this as a TV show. And then, by the way, we're also going to do this movie thing. It was just sort of that they announced, hey, we're doing this Inhumans movie thing with the IMAX cameras.
Yeah.
And you had to garner from that the fact that, well, that means they're doing an Inhumans thing for TV.
Yeah.
You know, because it was like almost buried in the story. So it's very bizarre how that came about. But
super weird.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't even hear about it until you brought it up to me today, too. So it's like, I feel like it's a little under the radar,
and
I don't know.
Did they say it was coming in 2017 or 20? It had to be 2018. Now I can't remember the date.
September 2017.
Yeah. Yep. So, I mean, that's the beginning of the fall season then for next year. So, I mean, somebody mentioned that maybe it was like they did with Agent Carter, where it just kind of comes in the middle there, but it won't work that from a timing standpoint, because Agent Carter always came in the mid-season break for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So, but it's always possible that they're going to push Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. back, or this could run parallel. The end of this season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which has been awesome. We should talk about that a little bit, too.
I still haven't really watched any of it.
Oh, yeah, we can't talk too much about it.
I've heard good things about the Ghost Rider stuff.
The Ghost Rider stuff is super cool. I think we already blew it for you. The Johnny Blaze Ghost Rider showed up at one point.
Oh,
very briefly, unless more happened this week, because I haven't seen this week's yet. But, again, I mean, they're figuring out. I was reading an article the other day that was saying that Marvel seems to have figured out what makes DC so good at TV with their superhero shows, and that's superheroes.
Nice. Hey, man, DC kills it on TV.
Oh, for sure. Love all their TV stuff.
Gosh, Flash is so good.
Oh, yeah.
I love Flash.
Arrow's been stronger this year
than it was last year.
Yep. I'm just catching up on the first season of Legends of Tomorrow. I'm really digging that. I've loved their Supergirl stuff the whole way through. So, we'll see how that goes. But ABC is or the ABC shows, at least, you know, Marvel's had so much success on Netflix because they've done shows about their characters with powers and that whole thing.
Right.
And it seems like with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., they're starting to figure out, hey, let's get more of what makes Marvel in here. Let's throw some heroes involved. So, you know, they fully realized the Quake character now. They've added in at least one Ghost Rider. You know, the sky's sort of the limit. I'm continuously hoping Deathlock will come back.
Capacity. I know. I thought they were going to use him more. But we've talked about, I am glad that they added somebody like Ghost Rider to S.H.I.E.L.D. I feel like that's something that show needed.
Yep.
Was an actual Marvel character like that. So like a big, more well-known character. So that's pretty cool that they're doing that now.
Yep. And so hopefully, like I said, hopefully this is building to a big thing by the end of the season. You know, so many times the ends of the season lead into the big Marvel summer movie.
Yeah.
I'm hoping now maybe the end of the season instead of leading into, because the big summer Marvel movie for next year is Guardians of the Galaxy. It's going to be hard for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. to lead into that one. So maybe they can just lead into their own big Inhumans thing coming next instead. So.
Cool. All right, you get one more shout out because your kid's saying goodnight to you on here. Did you see that?
Oh, no, I missed that. Where is it at? Right
here.
Night, babies. Love you guys. All right. So you wasted your second one on Puppet Duvall.
I know.
I got to talk to my kids.
Dang it. Always wasting my stuff on Duvall. Man. I just want to see a movie acknowledge Netflix. Yeah, that somebody just popped that up. I would love that, too.
Yeah, that's what, you know.
If the movies acknowledge the TV stuff.
It doesn't have to be a big thing. It doesn't have to be, you know, Daredevil doesn't have to show up. They can just pop in the reference, like,
like Winter Soldier did with Stephen Strange.
Yeah.
Just something like that.
Yeah.
You know, bring up Matt Murdock somewhere, and I'll be super happy.
Man, for sure bring up Matt Murdock, because he's the best.
Yep.
Daredevil is so good.
So.
Dang it, Duvall.
All right. Well, let's move into everybody's favorite thing, a movie review.
Okay. So I want to throw this out there. Since we're live, I'm going to let you guys make the decision.
Oh, yeah.
If we talk about Doctor Strange right now, should we say spoilers? Or should we go spoiler-free? I already saw somebody earlier that said, please don't spoil Doctor Strange. I haven't seen it yet. So since we've got over 60 people watching us live right now, let's kind of see what the consensus is. Because we can totally talk about this a little bit without getting too
deep
into some of the stuff that was going on. Spoilers, go for it. Spoiler-free. You're my favorite YouTuber. That doesn't answer the question.
I think
but
they were talking
you.
To me.
Oh, they're definitely talking to you. Spoiler free. No spoilers. I haven't seen it. I think that's the majority. Spoiler free, preferably. Okay. Well, I'm going to go ahead and call it then. Let's do spoiler free.
Yeah, that's my.
Because
I think the
like
majority might have actually been the other way, but that's one of those things
spoilers.
Where we'd be ruining it for the few. So let's do no spoilers now, and then the next time we tape a not live episode,
we can go.
We'll do a
more
full
in depth.
Yep.
So let's just do this. Initial thoughts on Doctor Strange.
Really liked it, and it fits right into that realm we were talking about earlier, the fact that we're sitting around talking about Negasonic Teenage Warhead and Ego the Living Planet caring is amazing to me, and I'll put Doctor Strange probably on a higher plane than that, but kind of right up there. You know, if you'd have told me in 2008, hey, there's an Iron Man movie coming out and a Captain America movie coming out, and one of these days we're going to get Thor and Doctor Strange, I'd have laughed at you.
Yeah.
And lo and behold, we've had two amazing Thor movies, a third one I'm super looking forward to, and a Doctor Strange movie that I really thoroughly enjoyed. And man, Benedict Cumberbatch is just fun to watch.
He is just, and like, as soon as they announced that casting, I knew it was going to be perfect, right? But he was just so wonderful. And like you said, just so fun to watch.
Yep.
Like, man, that guy, just when he takes on a role, he's just so, he does it perfectly. He's all in with it. He's so serious with it. He portrays the character so well. And going right along with what you said, like I walked out of that movie and my first initial thought was, it blows my mind that Marvel is continuously able to make these really good movies that the general audience can enjoy, of characters like Doctor Strange and Thor and the Guardians of the Galaxy. Like, they're taking these characters who, before this whole Marvel Cinematic Universe, were pretty no-name characters, or at least lesser known. I mean, a lot of people kind of know of Thor, but did a lot of people really read Thor?
And
you know,
that's the thing. If you're a Marvel Comics guy, then you know a lot about Thor. You know a lot about Doctor Strange. You know, these are household names to you. But when you get out into the general mainstream, you know, a lot of people I don't even think knew for sure Thor was a superhero. Their initial thought is Norse god.
Right.
Well, not anymore. Now their initial thought is Chris Hemsworth. Doctor Strange is another one of those. A lot of people have probably heard of him. A lot of people really don't know a lot about Doctor Strange outside of the comic reading. I mean, again, I know he's a big character.
Right.
I used to know a little bit about
him.
But the general public.
Yeah.
And lo and behold, they're lining up outside of buildings to go and plop down $10 or $15 to see a Doctor Strange movie. And it's super entertaining.
It was so entertaining. And, you know, it's a total origin story, but I felt that worked really, really well with this. And, like, I don't want to get too spoilery here, but I kind of want to talk a little bit about, like, the timeline of this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Because that was kind of a big talking point when we came out of it.
Yeah.
The movie is an origin story. So it's kind of Doctor Strange learning about this other world, the magical world, and then kind of learning it to eventually become the Sorcerer Supreme that we all know. What's really cool about it is, like, you got to really pay attention because they don't spell it out for you, but the movie is taking place over an extended period of time.
And I think I'll wait till the spoiler version to really talk about it, but there's a lot of debate that I've seen over how long that period of time is.
Well, there's certain things that you know, if you pay attention to things going on in the background of the movie, you can kind of pinpoint timelines in the Marvel Universe that things are happening with this. Because I noticed one right away at the beginning that I was like, well, that doesn't fit with the current timeline. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it's one of those things where, like, he's studying this magic stuff, and of course that takes time.
Yeah.
And while they're not specifically spelling it out for you, if you're paying attention to the surroundings, you can tell that this is happening.
It really is one of the fun parts about the movie.
Yeah.
And I wish I would have caught it before, because it wasn't until we walked out of it that I started thinking about that. And
now I got to go back and see it again so I can do that. So, again, we're not really spoiling anything, but a heads up, if you haven't seen it yet, when you go, start kind of paying attention to what's going on there, because they do give you clues as you go through as to kind of where it might fall in the timeline of what's going on. Right. But I really cannot tell you right now if that movie took place over 6 months or 4 or 5 years. I really don't know.
Yeah,
you
know? It's tough.
But it's cool. But and the Dormammu came up a few times on here.
Yep.
They
kind of did that thing where they basically just introduced us to him. So, yeah. Like, he could be a potential threat down the road. Because we know that Dormammu is kind of like a bigger deal, especially in the Doctor Strange universe.
Exactly.
So, like, he couldn't be just, like, the one-off villain for this. He needs to be a bigger deal.
Exactly.
And so we kind of got our introduction to him, and that's cool.
Yep. I think they played that pretty well perfectly, because they did exactly that. They let you know, you know, you get to see him, they let you know he's out there, but they for the majority of the movie, he's more of like the overtone, you know, this is the impending threat type thing. So I think what they did with him, I hope I'm not getting too spoilery, but I think what they did with him was super cool.
Yeah.
So
I agree. So I think it was a lot of fun. I'm really anxious to see how this plays in now to the future movies. That's always what the fun part of these new movies is kind of starting to speculate how this is now going to fit in with the rest of the universe.
Yep.
And it's cool because we keep getting introduced to all these different sides of the Marvel universe, and now we've got that magic side that's being brought into this. We kind of got a little bit of a teaser with it with Ant-Man, right? That was supposed to be our first when he went into like the negative space or whatever. That was like our first little introduction to that this other world exists.
Oh, yeah.
And now Doctor Strange has really full-on introduced it to us. So it's going to be interesting to see how that plays into everything. I mean, we've already got Scarlet Witch, too, who kind of touches into the magic stuff, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's her power.
Yep.
So it's going to be kind of cool to see how this all plays together and how big of a role Strange can have once he especially, like, reaches that Sorcerer Supreme status. You know what I mean? Because, not to be too spoilery, but we're not quite at that point yet with him. And
yeah,
I think
exactly,
that's cool.
Exactly.
We're going to kind of go on this journey with him a little
bit.
Well,
and then, you know, the excitement of figuring out where is he going to show up next. And what else is he going to do? I mean, is he a guy who we're not going to see again until the next Avengers movie?
Yeah.
Or is he a guy who's going to start popping in through some of the other stuff they do, you know?
Yeah.
I'm very interested to see kind of where they go, especially with Cumberbatch playing it, because I'm looking forward to seeing the Tony Stark, Stephen Strange mix-ups.
Oh,
on
man.
Screen,
can you imagine?
That, you
yeah,
know?
The
because
tech guy versus the magic guy.
Yeah, and they're also, like, personality-wise, they're also, like, they're not exactly mirror images of each other, but they're sort of, like, skewed versions of each other, because they're both super cocky and pretty funny.
And they're
but
smart.
They have a, yeah, and they're
really
super
smart.
And, but they have a very different manner about them still, you know what I mean?
Well, so. And it's cool, too, because Strange is the character who is in the position of being, you know, full-on science.
Yeah.
And then accepted the whole magic world. So, like, how does that conversation with Tony go? You know what I mean? That could be some really fun interactions to see, for sure.
Yep. I gotta, so. We gotta get off this, because I'm gonna start getting too spoiled.
Okay, we'll get off the Doctor Strange thing now. Sweet.
So, good movie, though. Go see it, and stay tuned for our next episode, where we'll give you the full spoiler review.
Yeah, we can get into it a little bit further.
So.
Sweet.
Yep.
Well, I think we've pretty much got through a lot of our topics, and we're a little over an hour on the show now, so since we've got a chat going, we still have lots of people watching, why don't we go ahead and open it up to a Q&A.
We'll
do just a quick Q&A. You guys can throw out some questions. We'll do our best to answer what we can on here for a little while before we wrap things up.
Again, I want to point out the text moves very fast, and it is very confusing to me.
It does move quick, so we're going to try to do our best to
so if we miss your question, we're sorry, but yes, it is Q&A time. So
all
the
right,
first
so
question is 3D?
3D? Yes. I don't know. Does he want to see
like your
the
answer.
Dudley Boys?
Oh, you know, I think he's. I think James is asking
if
they
we saw it
see
in 3D.
Doctor Strange
we
in 3D.
We did see it in 3D, and it was very good 3D.
Yeah, it
so,
was decent 3D. I don't know.
Wow, these are flying in now.
Yeah, okay. I saw most of it in 2D once, or part of it in 2D once, and then I saw the whole thing in 3D. I don't think you have to spend the extra few bucks, but if you do, you'll get decent quality out of it. So if you like good 3D, it's got good 3D.
All right, here we go with questions. Nick asks, I have a question for Dan. When will you do a review of the San Diego exclusive She-Ra doll? We brought that up a little bit earlier on in the show. I've had a lot of people ask me about that. I haven't done it yet, and it's just because it's in a pile of stuff that I still have to review. I don't have a specific date, but I want to do a video, so it's one of those things I can't tell you when exactly, but I will. I promise I will. I'll get to it.
He-Man's your shtick, dude.
He-Man is my thing. I should probably get on that. I know. Well, you know, we're at a time
I got
of
your
year.
Back, Nick.
There you go. We're at a time of year where I'm getting a lot of product to review, too, so it gets a little hard to keep up with. But it's on my list. I promise I'll get to it. What do you guys think about Rogue One?
Haven't seen it.
I assume you mean thoughts going into it,
yeah.
Like based on the trailers.
I'm excited.
I'm amped. I'm super excited. I'm just happy we have Star Wars every year now. So I love the tone that the trailers kind of set for it. I think it's pretty cool. The little sneak peek of Vader in the last trailer was kind of exciting. I'm excited to see. But I hope he's not, like, dominant in the movie. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It makes sense for Vader to be there.
I hope he's more than just the background. But like you said, I don't want him to be, like, the main villain who's in every scene.
Exactly. But I really love the tone. Because even though it's modern and you can tell the technology, obviously, with the shoot and everything in the movie looks nicer and more up-to-date, it still feels very original trilogy.
Yeah.
And I like that a lot.
Yeah.
So I'm excited. Rank the Arrowverse in this current season, please.
Does that just mean the shows as they're playing now, I guess? And you're way behind, so...
Well, we just started season four. Last season was four, right? It's five right now.
Yeah, they're in five
now. So we're watching four right now. So I haven't seen five at all yet.
But I think they mean like all the DC shows.
Oh, that's all the Arrowverse.
For the current
season. I've seen Flash, Supergirl, and Arrow. I haven't seen Legends of Tomorrow yet.
Yeah, I will say, I mean, I'm a couple episodes behind on some of those, but I'm mostly caught up. But I've got a lot of problems because I haven't finished season one of Legends of Tomorrow yet, so I got to cross that off my list already. I'm not sure if I like Supergirl more than Flash, but I watch Supergirl with my kids, and they're always really excited about it,
yeah.
So that's always the one that I look the most forward to.
That's a big play.
I
got to
put it on top, and then Flash, and then, I think Arrow's a little stronger than last year was so far, but it's still sort of climbing back up into the ranks as far as I'm concerned. And again, I will point out, I didn't hate 4. A lot of people hated 4. I didn't hate 4. But 4 was clearly subpar to the rest of the stuff they had done.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So here's my... Based on what I've seen, I think I'm going to put Flash at the top for sure. It's the one I'm most excited to watch all the time. And I love it. So Flash will be top. I think I'm going to put Supergirl at number 2. Because the same reasons you mentioned. It's just so fun. And I love how lighthearted and just happy it is. And the stuff we saw with Superman was so cool. So Supergirl's at number 2.
Yeah.
I'll put Arrow at 3, but I also haven't seen Legends of Tomorrow yet, so I don't know where that ranks yet. But Flash, solid number 1 for sure. The Yoda Soup says, are you excited for Gilmore Girls?
We are!
We're so excited! I know who is excited. My wife is stoked for it.
This sort of hit me just a couple of days ago. Like, I was almost doing a countdown for that and earlier in the month.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, hey, we got 3 weeks left until Gilmore. Between... All the World Series hoopla and then all the election hoopla, it totally, completely fell out of my radar for like 10 days.
Oh,
and just the other day, I was like, hey, what's going on? Oh, it's in like 8 or 9 days. That's awesome.
Well, I feel bad because my wife thought it was this Friday, and when she found out it was next Friday, she was so bummed. But we're for sure going to we're going to do the date night thing.
Yeah.
And,
I'm trying to talk my wife into staying up until 4 in the morning to watch the first episode right when it
debuts. You know how excited you guys get about, like, a new Avengers movie? That's how my wife feels right now about Gilmore Girls. Just to put it into perspective.
Mine,
she's
too.
She's so excited, so.
Yep. I don't think she's going to stay up till 4 with me.
Oh, well, we'll see.
But
Christina might. We'll see. Jason says, how much longer do you guys think the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles toys can stay going strong? That's a really good question. I don't know, actually, how much life it's got in it. It probably could go for a little while still. The cartoon still seems to be doing really good. And I think as long as it's got a solid following with the cartoon, the toys themselves will probably do fine.
Well,
you always got to remember, though, too, like... sometimes like the age group that's into the toys will end up outgrowing the property. So it's a matter if they can keep getting the next age group into the property. You know what I mean?
And this was going to be my point, depending on how you're asking that question. If you mean the current iteration of the toys that are coming out based on the Nickelodeon thing, it's got a cap.
Yeah.
They always do. If you mean TMNT toys in general, man, they've been going 30 years.
They haven't stopped yet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, there's breaks,
Turtles,
but they always come back.
Turtles is like Transformers in that it's one of those properties that has been able to successfully reinvent itself over and over and over again. So it's had several cartoons, TV shows, movies, and they haven't all been perfect, but they've all kept Turtles out there, and we've got new toy lines from it. So if you mean Turtles in general, I agree with you. I think it could keep going forever. Yeah. We don't know.
here's a fun question. Excited for Brock versus Goldberg?
Oh, that is a good question.
Yeah. No.
No. I'm indifferent. I just, okay, so like, this goes back to what we've talked about before, where I was never really a huge WCW fan, but it was just because I didn't really watch a lot of WCW back then. So like we've talked about with Sting before, it's like, I just wasn't watching.
I know, to be excited, I don't feel that excited.
I was a full on WWF guy back then. I don't know, like, I've never been, when Goldberg made his return on Raw, it was one of those things where the crowd gave him this massive reaction, and I was kind of like, are we at that point now? Like, are we just nostalgic for Goldberg, yep, and that's why we're excited to see him back? I was a little confused, because when he left, they for sure weren't happy to see him.
Yes, thank you. And I will point out, I have enjoyed some of the build-up. I'm not excited for that match.
That match has to be a train wreck, right?
It has to be. When Goldberg showed up that night on Raw, my eyes were spinning around in my head. I didn't know what was going on. Because, the crowd went... There was a three-minute ovation or whatever where you couldn't hear anybody say anything.
Yeah, it was insane.
They were going nuts. And all I kept thinking is, wrestling fans are weird.
Yeah.
Because, just like you said, and I know it was 12 years ago, but man, the last time those two guys were in a ring together, they got booed out of the building. The only person in the match that anybody cheered for was Stone Cold Steve Austin, and he was the ref, you know? So, they know how to build this kind of thing, and they're both... I have never liked Lesnar until he started doing this monster gimmick where he only shows up every once in a while. And for the record, when they sort of announced that's what he was doing, and when... he started showing up and doing the part-time gimmick, I hated it still. I did not like the idea of that at all, but the way they've booked him as a spectacle, it has worked.
Yeah,
I will admit that.
Yeah.
And there are Lesnar matches that I have gotten excited for. Goldberg can fit well into that realm, and again, I've liked some of the build-up. I always like it when Paul Heyman comes out and talks.
Exactly. Heyman's the best part of Lesnar, right?
Yeah, exactly. By far.
Yeah.
So, I don't outright hate everything they've done, but if you ask me if I'm excited for Brock versus Goldberg, nope.
Nope.
Not even kind of.
Yeah. We'll see. We'll see what happens. Starseed wants to know, the Hasbro Cinematic Universe, what properties we want to see. We talked about that on one of the recent episodes, kind of what they're doing with it. I don't know exactly what I want to see with it, but I'm curious to see what they're already planning to do, specifically with stuff like Mask. I think Mask has potential.
Yep.
But I'm also curious to see what they do with stuff like Rom the Space Knight, just because that seems so weird and obscure, and the fact that they want to turn that into a movie is interesting to me. I want to see what they do with it.
I know too little about Rom to be excited, but I mean, I'm up for whatever. Mask would be the one that jumps out at me. I used to love Mask stuff, and I think those could make real cool movies and real cool toys. So I'd be interested in seeing a revival of that.
Right.
Yep.
For sure. Angel wants to know if we're excited for the new Wolverine flick coming out, which I think we're definitely a big yay on that, right, on Logan? Very excited about Logan, for sure. We talked about that a little bit on the last episode.
Yeah, these smaller scale movies they do, I mean, that's one of my big exciting things, and I think we talked about the Deadpool stuff on the last episode a little bit, too. There was a big shakeup, and everybody was a little bit scared because the director left, but then it turns out, from what they say, the director left because he wanted to spend tons and tons of money on part two, and Ryan Reynolds and some of the other guys were like, hey, let's keep it small, let's do what's already worked, and that's what I want to see more of. I love the big spectacle movies, and I love the special effects movies, and I love, throwing big names in there and all that stuff, but I also really like the idea of saying, hey, we've got 1,000 characters, not everything they do is going to be world-ending, let's just tell some smaller stories.
Yeah.
And, the more they decide to do that kind of stuff, the happier I am.
So. I agree with that. I think that'll be cool. Yeah, I really hope that they can get something off the ground with these, too. I know it's one of those things that everybody's kind of like, oh, this seems a little strange. And, of course, it obviously seems like they're trying to take the Marvel route with their properties. But, I mean, I don't know. If they really try with this, it could be fun. So I'm holding out hope that we get some cool stuff out of this, for sure. All right, Oddpod says, what 80s toy line do you think would make a good movie? So that's kind of on the same subject.
Yeah.
Is there any toy line that you think would make a cool movie that you've never seen a movie of yet? It's funny thinking back, too, because there's so many weird toy lines in the 80s.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of, Thundercats comes right to mind. That's such an easy answer.
I was going to say that was my number one. Thundercats would have to be the one thing I could think of from the 80s that I would really like to see actually get developed into something. So yeah.
If they hadn't announced the Hasbro universe, I would say Mask, and I'd there be super go. Excited there at myself go. For that idea, and but I think, somebody else had it.
I think Visionaries falls under that whole Hasbro thing, too, so maybe there's a Visionaries movie. That's another weird one. Inhumans is another weird toy line that could make, not Marvel's Inhumans, but, Inhumanoids is what I'm thinking of, the Inhumanoids line. Could make a fun movie. But yeah, Thundercats, I mean, that's like the 80s property, right? That needs some sort of a big revival that has really not gotten it proper yet. I mean, aside from
Silverhawks.
Silverhawks? I mean,
That's probably the one thing that when I played with toys in the 80s, it was a lot of Star Wars and G.I. Joe, and then some wrestling figures and turtles, stuff like that. So a lot of the bigger mainstream stuff that's already had their revivals and whatnot. I would say if there's one that I had the most product from that has never really been brought back up since then, it was probably Silverhawks.
Yeah, there you go. Cool. That could be a lot of fun. Marvel Ninja Turtles says, Dan, say cowabunga before you end the stream.
You just did.
I did. Cowabunga! What about Booyakasha? Booyakasha! That's the new cowabunga, right?
It is.
Knights of Ren says, are you picking up the Black Series Target 3-pack? Star Wars figures.
What's in the 3-pack?
What is in the 3-pack? That's a good question. Isn't it like, let's see.
Just keep up with the chat. They'll probably tell us.
Oh, yeah. Keep up with the chat. I can't remember what it is. So I haven't picked it up. I need to go get it. I'm a little behind on my Star Wars Black Series stuff. I think the newest wave is starting to hit now, too. So, and the Walgreens exclusive C-3PO figure. I need to find that one still.
Hey, can we give one more shout-out?
Okay, one more shout-out.
They're asking for you.
Can I please get a shout-out, Dan? Alexander Grimstad. What's up, buddy? There's your shout-outs. how did you get your WWE turtles? They are not online. Mine were review samples straight from Playmates Toys. They are Walmart exclusive, and they're actually starting to show up at Walmart stores right now. I've already seen people reporting online that they're finding them. So start checking your Walmarts. That's where you're going to find the WWE turtles. They're so good, dude. We talked about them on here. Oh, they're so awesome. I love them so much. Nick Fury walks in. Rory, I'd like to talk to you about the Netflix initiative. If Gilmore Girls starts mixing up with the Marvel Universe on Netflix, my head will explode. I don't even know why that would happen, but whatever.
Yeah, you'll hear two quick popping sounds from the opposite sides of Springfield.
Do you think Rogue One will mess with the Force Awakens storyline? I don't think so, because remember, this is before A New Hope, and Force Awakens is after Return of the Jedi. So, like, they're far enough apart from each other, I don't think they're going to really influence each other at all.
Yeah, I don't even know how they could.
We pretty much know how Rogue One has to end, right? I'm a little worried this is going to be a super sad, down ending, but it has to be.
I'm kind of hoping it will be.
Well, yeah.
Those are my favorite Star Wars movies.
That's right. Empire Strikes Back is everybody's favorite, right? Most people's favorite. Let's see. Really happy the Thundercats figures are back. I just hope they stick around. Let's hope that Super 7 can continue them. Is the He-Man figure revival dead? No, we actually talked about that at the beginning of the show. And Super 7 actually has new figures on pre-order right now. Super7store.com, so go check those out. Let's see.
How unexcited for the new Transformers are you? Is that the question?
Good question. How unexcited for the new... I'm unexcited.
Yeah. Have you seen the new stuff? They've got some pictures and stuff, and apparently, like, somebody was giving me a rundown of it earlier. Apparently, the story involves Optimus Prime finding out that Cybertron is dead, and in order to revive it, he's got to find some artifact or something, and it involves him traveling back in time because the key to unlocking this thing rests with Merlin the Magician, so he goes back to, like, King Arthur's court.
What?
Wow!
What? Yeah. What in the world is happening?
Yeah. You want to talk about... I feel like I missed a lot by not watching Transformers 4 or 4.
No, because none of that was it. I don't even know.
You know, the last one I saw was 3, and then I read that synopsis, and I go, good googly moogly. How did we get from, hey, Chicago's got destroyed, to, well, I guess we'll go hang out with King Arthur.
Gosh, that's crazy.
Hey, your dad's on here.
What? Oh, Dan, I am your father. What's up, my father? Somebody on here, actually, well, we were talking about Thundercats a second ago, and they said, curse you, Cartoon Network and Bandai, for killing the awesome Thundercats reboot. And yes, I agree. However, Cartoon Network, I just got reminded of something else I wanted to bring up. Did you see the announcement that Young Justice is coming back because of Netflix being awesome?
Oh, no, I didn't.
Young Justice, if you guys don't know, was that DC animated cartoon that was about kind of like the, almost like the Teen Titans kind of stuff, but it was a very serious tone show. Really, really good. Totally got canceled because Cartoon Network loves canceling good shows. It's coming back.
Didn't they replace it with that like real cartoony
Teen Titans show?
Yep. Which, for the record, is fun.
But Young Justice was a super good show, and it was on at the same time as that Thundercats cartoon. But Young Justice is coming back. We're getting a new season.
Nice, because of Netflix.
Yes.
How's that playing?
I don't know exactly. I just know that they announced it this week that it's returning. So
Was the Teen Titans on Netflix?
No.
Was getting good?
Oh, I don't... Yeah, I think that is on Netflix, actually. It's one of those cult shows that people have been petitioning to bring back for a while, so it looks like somebody just acknowledged it finally. So that is really, really cool. I think
we're
flying
through.
How
far behind are we falling?
Well, oh, here we go. That three-pack at Target is the Death Trooper Specialist, a new Cassian Andor, and another Jyn. And I knew there was another Jyn in there. I just couldn't remember that. The bank is going to be calling you to get their payment for all these shout-outs. I agree, Officer Buttface, who is the name of the... That's hilarious.
Yeah. Dan's not insulting anybody. That's actually
his
name.
That's the name. Yeah. Yep. Young Justice did have a toy line. Let's see. Would you guys like to see a darker reboot of Mask?
Was that Mask or The Mask?
The Mask. Oh, okay. A darker reboot of The Mask, more like the comics.
Yeah, I dig
that. So unlike the comedy Jim Carrey version.
Yep, I'd super dig that.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Yeah, I mean, if they do it right. Obviously, it could be terrible, but...
Right. And I think that pretty much brings us to the bottom of our comment box here, so...
Oh,
and
really?
We've still got... I mean, they're still popping up, but I think we answered all the questions. I kind of skimmed through all of here.
Yeah, I'm sure we missed some, so sorry, guys, but...
Yeah, if we missed some, we didn't skip it on purpose. Like John said, this comment box has, like, been flying by super fast. Oh, here we go. Dan, what's next for Plastic to Pixels?
Oh, yeah, I meant to bring your show up to make sure
that
I got out there.
I'm glad somebody asked about that. So I want to go and plug that right now, then, if that's cool with you guys. If you haven't watched it yet, I launched a brand new series here on my channel called From Plastic to Pixels, which is a collaborative show with my good buddy Norm from The Gaming Historian. So maybe you guys have heard of him. If not, you should look him up. He does... really, really, really well done videos about the history of like retro games and gaming companies. But the two of us do this new show together where we basically talk about and play video games that are based on toy properties. And it's been a really cool, neat change of pace of things that I'm doing.
It's a super cool show, guys. Check it out.
Yeah, so that's two episodes are up now. I've got a brand new episode coming up this Saturday. And what the heck, since we're streaming live, we'll do an exclusive reveal right here. It's totally about the G.I. Joe Atari game.
Ooh.
So... check it out. It's going to be a lot of fun. I think that is probably a great place to end it. Hey, some people are telling me that they enjoy the show. That's awesome. Thank you guys for watching. It really means a lot to me. It was something new and different, and I was really hoping people would accept it. And so if you like it, please help me just like share it everywhere. I want more people to get eyes on it. That would be awesome. Definitely do this again. Oh, we're starting to get some lag, unfortunately, but at least it's the very end of the show.
Yeah, it seemed like it didn't for a long time.
Yeah,
so
unfortunately,
this is definitely YouTube's fault again.
This is definitely YouTube's fault. Hey, somebody wants to know how long I've been doing YouTube. Can you believe it's been almost a decade?
I can, because I was there when it started.
Been almost a decade. It was June 2007 is when I uploaded my first video to YouTube.
I'll never forget sitting in the living room when you went, "Hey, John, I think I'm going to be on YouTube." And I went, "Cool, Dan, you do that."
You do it. That's exactly how it went down.
And now here we are.
That is awesome. All right, guys. Well, we're going to go ahead and put an end on it there. We've been going for about an hour and a half. Did you guys enjoy the live stream? I really hope you did. It looks like there's a lot of people telling us that we need to do this more often.
Cool.
So
yeah, I've enjoyed it.
We'll definitely think about doing this again. And if you guys are just listening to the show right now, hopefully it was still enjoyable, even though you weren't watching us live. But now you know for the future.
Tell you what, though. People who are going to be listening to the audio and who are going to be watching the YouTube version later, definitely let us know. How this plays back without watching us live, because it's a learning curve for us too. If there's anything we can do better next time, we want to make sure we do.
So. Right. Absolutely. So, quick little plugs for the end of the show, of course. If this is your first time joining us on the Geek Easy podcast,
miss you too, Fuzzy.
Aw, Big Fuzzy misses you. If this is your first time tuning into the Geek Easy podcast because of the live stream, just to let you guys know that the audio version of this podcast is available on all of your podcast stations, such as iTunes, Stitcher, the Stitcher app, the Podbean app, all those. So if you want to subscribe to us and listen to the audio version, we are there. We also have a Geek Easy YouTube channel that is separate from the Pixel Dan channel. Do a search for Geek Easy podcast, and we put the full video versions on that channel so you guys can follow us there. Yeah, this is really cool, guys. Thank you so much. We got a lot of great comments about the live stream. We've got a really nice guy right here who is going to get kicked out right now. At least he's at the very end of the show. So yeah, there's a lot of cool comments. We really thank you guys so much for tuning in and watching us. We had several people on. This was a lot of fun.
Yeah, the interaction's great, and you know, we really appreciate you guys listening, watching, and however you take it in. So thanks for everything, Internet.
Awesome. Thank you, Internet. Thanks, YouTube. Yeah. All right, guys. Well, until next time, I am Pixel Dan.
I'm Jonathan Leonard.
Take care, everybody. Bye.
The Geek Easy Podcast is a production of PixelDan.com. Musical tracks used in the intro and outro are used with full permission of the respective owners or creators. Intro and outro narrations are provided by me, Brian T. Stevenson. Any animated series discussed are copyright their respective owners. PixelDan.com's The Geek Easy Podcast is provided for entertainment purposes only. The views expressed are those solely of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily represent those of PixelDan.com or any other party. Be sure to join us next time for another installment of the Geek Easy Podcast.